All right. Well, good evening. I don't know. I don't know how to start this.
I don't know either.
I'm Emily.
Oh, yeah, and I'm Chelsea.
And this is Mom Needs a Minute, and mostly it's because between us we have three little boys who are
They have a lot of energy.
They have a lot of energy. They're just chaos incarnate. And they're just, and sometimes mom just needs
to sit in this just needs quiet a minute room. Away.
Yeah. So what we decided to do then was just tell each other awful stories.
Yeah, and hope that people eventually want to listen to the same stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of true crime, of paranormal, cryptids, all the spooky nonsense that you don't really want to tell your kids about. Or you don't want your kids to listen to.
I think it depends on how you parent, but...
Well, okay, that's true, because I do share too much with my kids, as far as that stuff goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of yours is old enough to kind of listen to some of it, but...
Yeah, I keep a close eye. We watched BuzzFeed Unsolved recently, and the true crime version, the true crime series of it, because they do the true crime and the supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
And so the true crime one, I was like, okay, yeah, you can watch this one. Nope. Turn that one off. Jack the Ripper? Maybe not.
Oh, snap. Yeah, probably not.
No, probably not. We're going to take that one away from him.
Yep.
Maybe in a couple years.
Maybe. When he can figure out his own nightmares and don't have to, you know.
Come sleep with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He climbs into bed with us if we let him watch ones that really mess with his head, even though
You're a lot nicer than me. Ain't no kid sleeping in my bed.
I'm not going to lie. I typically don't notice until morning. They are just so good at, like, climbing into my bed and just, like, curling in. And then I, like, wake up and I'm like, hell did you come
Why
from?
Is there another
Where did you come
here?
From? Yeah.
Holy cats.
Like the other day I woke up and both of them were in my bed with us. And Maverick had like a whole, like the whole half of the bed to himself. And then me, Patrick, and Bentley were all like squished onto one half
okay.
of the bed.
That is too many humans in one bed.
I didn't even notice it until I woke up. I'm not going to lie. I don't notice it. That's
Heck no.
That is the really great part about having really severe insomnia and getting prescribed sleep meds.
You know, sleep meds are not my cup of tea because I'll never wake up in the morning.
That's why I don't notice them at night.
That is very fair.
Thankfully, they're like nearly 12 and 9, so.
Yeah, there is that.
They're fine if they wake up in the middle of the night. All right.
True.
So anyways, I have a story for you, Charles.
All right.
And it's, I don't know, it's not too bad.
Okay.
It's kind of it's a weird one. It's unsolved still.
Unsolved. What? Why?
Why? What? Because this one I think is really quite interesting.
Okay.
Because, well, it is unsolved, but there's a lot of twists and turns.
Do I know this one?
Have you ever heard of the Hinterkaifeck murders in Germany?
No.
Okay.
I generally don't pay attention to anything that's not in my country.
Okay, well, it happened in 1922, so it was 100 years ago.
I wasn't even thought of.
Nope. Neither were your parents or grandparents. No.
Maybe. You never know.
You were not thought of in 1922.
Hey, I don't think I was thought of in 1992. And that's when I was born.
I would certainly hope you were at least a little bit thought of at
that
point.
Really, I don't know.
All right. So, on April 4th, 1922.
Okay, I get it.
Albert Hofner went to fix the engine of a food chopper at a farm in rural Bavaria.
Sounds like a donut.
Bavaria? No.
Okay. Bavaria cream.
Jesus. No, Bavaria is like the very south part. That's actually where Patrick and I went last summer.
Okay.
It's like we were in Munich, but like where the castles and stuff that we went on a lot of our tours were. Okay. So I can definitely see how it's, it just on the very, very little amount of time that we were in Bavaria, it's very rural.
Okay.
So I can see how this would maybe have not been terribly, terribly noticeable.
Yeah.
So, anyways, no one answered the door when Albert had gone over to knock on it because he was going to fix that food chopper thing.
Yep.
But he saw that there was somebody in the distance, like over in one of the fields behind the house. So he had assumed that it was the head of the house, and he decided to just go and work on the engine. Like, he kind of waved to this man and then just kind of went to work. Didn't actually talk to him, just saw him in the distance in one of the fields and waved to him and went about his job, right?
Okay, yeah.
All right. So this engine took him like four and a half hours, and he didn't see any of the family members during that amount of time, but he did notice that the family dog was being let in and out of the house while he was there, and all of the animals looked healthy. They had like cows and stuff.
Yeah.
They all looked healthy and well taken care of and everything. And things looked like really different from the time that he got there to the time that he left.
Yeah.
And so it was very clear to him that somebody was there moving around, doing some things, doing all of that stuff, right? While he was working on this thing. So everything seemed like it was just business as usual around the house. So when he was done fixing this engine, he still hadn't seen anybody, and he thought that that was kind of strange, and he mentioned it to one of the neighbors of this family.
Okay.
And the neighbor agreed that it was weird, and then, you know, they went to go check it out. Although he also really wasn't worried because everything was kind of running fine and all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. He went, whatever. But okay, let's go look. And so then this adult man sent his son and his stepson over when the adults could not get a response from the family either.
How old were these kids?
They were children. like, I want to say like 14.
Okay.
They were young enough to maybe not be the next line of defense in a potential emergency, but okay.
Yeah, I'm a little worried.
So eventually, after the son and the stepson go over there, now this neighbor is starting to get, like, actually nervous and grab a couple other neighbors, and they're like, all right, let's actually go.
They, like, created a whole ass
like, a little search party. Yeah. So when the three neighbors, the original neighbor that the guy talked to, and then he grabbed two friends of his. So there's three neighbors, and they go over and they search, or they look closer at this property.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they found the bodies of Andreas Gruber, who is 63, Kazelia Gruber, his wife, was 72, their daughter, Victoria Gabriel, 35, and her daughter, Kazelia, in the barn and covered in hay.
Who's letting the dog out?
Well, we'll get there.
I need to know that.
When they investigated inside the house, because they found these guys in the barn, and so when they investigated in the house, they found Victoria, the daughter, her son, Joseph, he was 2, and the maid, Maria Baumgartner, who's 44, both tucked into their beds.
Dead or alive?
Dead.
Who tucks somebody in after they kill them?
I'm thinking that they were probably just sleeping. So they'd been, like, tucked in or cozied into bed, and they were just killed while they slept. Right. All right.
Interesting.
So, now we need to backtrack a little bit.
All right.
So, on... What are you looking
at? How many people are involved? I need to use some crystals.
Yeah, maybe you could use those cats.
Oh, the kitty cats.
Yeah. All right, so there's...
We'll think on it. Okay.
So there's Andreas, Kazelia, Victoria, the younger Kazelia, Joseph, and Maria. So that's 6.
6.
Yeah. Okay, so Andreas and the older Kazelia.
So there is 2 of them with the same name.
Yeah, it's the mom. It's the grandma and the like one of the babies.
Okay, I was a little concerned. Yeah, it's the grandma and the granddaughter. The same thing.
No, it's the granddaughter okay. and the grandma. So their daughter Victoria, her two children, Kazalia and Yosef.
Okay.
They were all living in this town, this tiny on a farmstead in this tiny town called Kaifek. Hinter apparently means behind, so it's like outside behind Kaifek, the city, which I just thought was kind of fun.
I thought that was like, isn't that like a saying?
What? Kaifek?
Yeah.
It's just a town name.
Okay.
It might be.
I feel like it is. Okay, you keep going. I'm gonna.
Okay, so either way, it's like 45 miles north of Munich. And Munich is where we were, where we stayed. So from the time that she was at least 16, which was roughly 1903. Okay.
Okay.
Because if she's 35 and 22. If she was at least 16, it would have been like 1903, if I did my math right, but.
You're not very good at math, so.
No, I'm not, but I would. It doesn't matter. What are you doing?
That was my child.
Okay.
What am I doing? I'm not FaceTiming myself. Nolan.
Okay. So from the time she was at least 16, roughly 1903, Andreas started raping Victoria.
What?
His daughter.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
In 1914, so that had been going on for like nearly 11 years at that point.
Holy shit.
In order to try to get away from her dad, Victoria tried to leave and married a man named Carl Gabriel. So they actually continued to live at the family farm. So getting away from her dad obviously like wasn't working apparently, but whatever. In August of 1914, Carl joined the army and was deployed to serve in World War One.
Oh.
And then by December of the same year, he was declared missing and presumed dead, but his body has to this day never been recovered.
I will never understand how that happened.
I don't know. There's a lot of trees.
Trees.
Water. There's a lot of water.
That's true. But, okay.
So... In January of 1915, Victoria gave birth to their daughter, Kazalia. And Carl was considered her dad, but since he was already presumed dead, Andreas was considered one of her legal guardians.
Okay.
So, like, Grandpa's a real gross guy already.
Clearly.
But whatever. So, by May of 1915, a servant caught Andreas assaulting Victoria, and this servant went to the police, and then Victoria was sentenced to a month in jail.
Just a month?
And she didn't do anything. She was the victim.
Oh, yeah, that's right. These names.
Victoria.
Oh.
Is the daughter of Andreas.
I got it.
Maybe you do need the cats.
You probably do. I told you.
Andreas was only sent away for a year.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So he had been, like, assaulting her for, at this point, like, 12, 13 years.
So then, okay.
Because she was in an incestuous relationship. So
but that wasn't even...
So she got jail time.
That wasn't a
relationship. Nope. However, this did not stop him at all. Okay. So they were both outcast after they returned home, and he just continued to be a fucking monster.
Hmm.
He was considered to be a, quote, unfriendly loser who, quote, constantly beat his wife.
Oh.
And then there's actually a lot of speculation that Victoria wasn't their only child, but she was the only one to survive to adulthood because of the violence that Andreas, like, rained down upon the family.
Oh, I can see that.
He's a real... icky guy.
He seems like a piece of
something. Yeah, he's a piece of shit. So
piece of something.
So by fall of 1918, Lorenz Schlittenbauer.
Sorry.
The neighbor. He was the neighbor that initially went to look for the family in 1922.
Okay.
So by fall of 1918, right, because we've time traveled back.
Yeah,
we're working our way
up
there.
We're all over the place.
We're working our way up there. Lorenz Schlittenbauer, the neighbor, had proposed to Victoria.
Oh?
In yet another attempt to get away from her dad, she immediately agreed.
Wasn't he older? Or is he the kid?
He He's the dad. Like, he's the child's dad. Yeah, so he's the older one.
But isn't Victoria...
The dog. Yeah, so she would have been, like, kind of between... Like, yeah.
Okay.
So in 18, she would have... Well, because if she was 35 and 22, she would have been, like, 31.
Oh.
Okay. So she would have been 31. She would have been, in, like, late 20s, early 30s.
Isn't that still weird? I guess I mean, back then.
I think so. Especially if you're only getting married twice to get away from your dad, but...
Yeah, I mean, to get away from your dad is the part that's a little...
It's real sad. Yeah. So before they got married, Victoria announced that she was pregnant again, and Schlittenbauer denied that he was the baby, that the baby was his. But he said that it was actually Andreas's baby, because incest. And so he actually ended up breaking up with Victoria and left her and married another woman.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's like a really gross, am I the asshole?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, am I the asshole for, like, breaking up with this woman after I proposed to her to get her away from her dad? It's like, yeah, it's really gross.
But then, yeah.
So, after he married another woman. So this argument over this baby's paternity ended up in Andreas threatening Lorenz with a Sith.
A who?
A Sith, like the thing that the Grim Reaper carries.
I didn't even know that was real.
Yeah, it's a real thing. That's how they cut grass and, like, hay and stuff. And yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how they use. Yeah, that's how they.
Okay, man. I don't do all this research.
A Sith, you know, the thing with the that the Grim Reaper carries.
Oh,
that
I know.
Big thing, yeah.
But that's
so that Andreas was... ended up threatening Lorenz with a Sith. Okay. So then Lorenz ended up having a baby with this other woman, but unfortunately that baby does end up dying after a few weeks, just because it was 1920 or 1918 and
medical is not
illness. Yeah. So I don't think that there, as far as I could tell, there wasn't anything that had happened to that baby that would have caused anything to like kill him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then Josef was born in 1919, and the Gruber family still wanted Schlittenbauer to pay child support and or alimony.
Okay, but there is child support and alimony back then?
I guess. And then they also wanted to make sure that he recognized that this was his child.
Okay.
And if he's still adamant.
I was going to say, if it's literally anything like nowadays child support dads, good luck.
It can't possibly be.
I don't know.
1920s Germany? You might never see him again.
Anyway.
Stop looking like that. Stop your face right now.
Like, I can't.
So he said that he was absolutely not going to pay for this kid, nor was he going to recognize that it was his child. Which, honestly, I can kind of see if he's like, dude, that's not my kid. But also then it's like, there's no DNA tests back then, so.
Yeah, but there is still, like, a time frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
like birth and
if her father is continuing to assault her, then...
But if... Okay, it's fair.
Yeah.
She didn't move out of their house?
Nope. She's still living with them.
Okay.
She's still living with her parents.
That's why. Okay, yeah. That makes sense now. I thought since they were, like, a thing, they lived together. But I suppose that wasn't, like, a...
thing in the
20s. They got married and then moved in.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, typically, I think. So anyways, then Andreas threatened him again, and Schlittenbauer then went to the police to file a report because he was convinced that Josef was Andreas's, and they were still on this incest bullshit. I wrote these notes a while ago, and the phrase, they were still on his incest bullshit, is in these notes right now, and I'm very pleased with myself about that. That's funny to me. So then Andreas was held by the police for 2 weeks before Schlittenbauer retracted his statement. Nobody knows why he retracted his statement, but he said that they had paid him to take it back, and by the time that he had said that they had paid him, the whole family was dead.
Oh.
Because Andreas supposedly threatened Schlittenbauer to take back his statement that the child was Andreas's.
Yeah, yep.
And so by the time that Andreas, like, finally, or Schlittenbauer, like, stated that, took it back and said that he threatened him or whatever, the family was already dead. So it was too late.
That was not called a win.
No, I wouldn't say so.
No, nobody won in that situation.
No, I wouldn't say so. All right, nope. So fast forward to roughly 6 months before the murder. We're looking September, October, 1921.
All right.
So the family's maid had quit because she claimed the house was haunted.
Okay.
In this maid's words, she would hear footsteps, notice things moving around randomly when she would put them down and leave a room. She heard noises in the attic. Andreas just always told her that she was crazy. I mean, he really sounds like a professional gaslighter.
Yeah, he's got that book written. He published that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that book was published in 1921, Germany. How to be a professional gaslighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay. So she quit. And honestly, okay, good for her.
Can we quit jobs and pretend like it's haunted?
I'm gonna
write that down.
I don't see why not.
Okay.
See if your boss gaslights you just enough to make it problematic. No, it's not. You're crazy. I swear to God that moved.
Yeah, I swear.
I put my water cup down right here. Why is it on the other side of my desk when I come back from the bathroom? Chelsea, you're fucking crazy. Stop it.
Oh, man. They'd probably fire me in.
They'd be like, we need to send you in for an evaluation.
Yeah, you're not mentally sane.
We're getting a little bit worried about you.
Oh, it took you long enough.
So anyways, so she quit, and, like, honestly, props to her, because, wow. And then he told her that she was crazy, even though he himself had noticed his keys missing, random newspapers that he originally thought the mailman had. Oh, he had thought that the mailman had delivered newspaper to the wrong address. And so these newspapers, he would just find them throughout his house, even though they didn't, like, have a subscription to this newspaper. And he thought that the mailman was just giving them to the wrong house and somebody else in his household had, like, grabbed it. But his own keys are missing also, by the way.
Okay, but
none of the neighbors subscribed to that paper either, so
how do they have paper subscriptions? I am so confused.
It's the newspaper. It's not like they're getting email updates.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's 1922. It's not.
But don't they just get it? They don't have to, like, subscribe to it. Isn't that just, like, the daily paper?
You have to subscribe to the daily paper, Chelsea.
Oh.
Do you get the daily paper? Do you get the Jamestown Sun?
No. To pay for that.
I need you to really think that one through very slowly.
No. You really do have to pay for it.
No, I know. I know. And that paid for is a...
It's a subscription. But I didn't know.
I need you to think this one through very, very slowly, babes.
I didn't think that was a thing. Then.
Of course it is. What do you
I
think?
I suppose they gotta pay for the paper, some.
Of course they do.
Okay. You win. I'm just gonna sit over here.
Oh my god. Okay. So then he also had mentioned to a neighbor that he had seen footprints in the snow coming from the woods surrounding their farmstead, leading to the barn, and then not walking away from the barn. And he told this to a neighbor. So Andreas is, like, a legit gaslighter supreme.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So then a few days before the murder, Victoria was sitting on the, found sitting on, like, the road near their home. She's just sitting, taking a minute. By, like, a little girl and her mom who were walking just down the road, right?
Okay.
Just walking. And they weren't able to figure out, like, what was wrong with her, but they managed to talk her into, like, hey, why don't you go inside? Like, she looked distressed, but, like, they talked her back into going inside.
Okay.
Although there were a few of accounts of her possibly mentioning seeing someone peeking at them from the woods. And whenever he thought he was noticed, he would, like, retreat back into the woods. And so...
What?
I would not want to be in my house either if I saw people, like, peeking at me and then just...
I mean, sometimes I look in your windows, but generally you know I'm coming, so...
That's what my curtains are for.
That's not for me.
I'm just kidding.
No.
And then, March 31st. Which is, like, 2 days. Right, she's got, like, the weekend. She's got the weekend, basically, to settle in here. So, on March 31st, Maria's sister dropped her off at the Grubers for her first day. No, it's not a few days before. That was when they were discovered. March 31st, Maria's sister dropped her off at the Gruber's home, farmstead, for her first day at her new job. And she stayed for, and Maria, or her sister stayed for about an hour to visit with the family and then to help Maria get settled in, right? So she's the maid. And, like, so her sister stayed for an hour to kind of chat with these people and, like, help her unpack and move in. So she is thought to be the last one to ever see these people alive.
Okay.
So then later on March 31st, it was confirmed that that was the last time that anybody had ever heard from the family. So now it's a real gross part here because this is like the... Okay. This is a real gross part here.
It's just, like, I can't even pinpoint who it would be at this point.
I have some ideas.
Okay.
I have some theories.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe.
So, it's been said, then, that Andreas and Kazalia were somehow led out to the barn from the house, or, like, kind of, like, almost, like, yeah, like, led out to the house, right? Or out to the barn from the house, one by one, and hit with an axe, and then thrown into a pile in the barn and covered by hay in the barn. And so then, theoretically, after Andreas and the older Kazalia had been taken care of, Victoria went out next to, like, see where the hell her parents are, right? Like, they've been out there for a while. Like, why aren't they where are they? What's going on? So then, theoretically, Victoria then also went out, was hit with the axe, and then thrown into the same pile, essentially, at this point. It's Andreas, Kazalia, Victoria, like, in a pile.
That's...
And then, for whatever reason, baby Kazalia, who's 7, goes out and to see where her mom is, and... is also hit and thrown into the exact same pile.
No.
It gets worse.
So
this, they can't exactly say that that's exactly what happened because 1922 forensics is
not exactly
ideal. And however, it is widely believed that they were somehow let out one by one in that order, presumably. And then the murderer then supposedly went into the house, killed the baby, Josef, and the maid, Maria, and then all of their bodies were covered. The bodies in the barn were covered with hay, and Maria was covered, Josef was covered by one of his mother's dresses, and Maria was tucked into her bed.
Stop! I hate this.
It gets worse.
No!
Yep, it gets worse.
It can't. It does.
So, it was Maria's very first day. She hadn't even started working for them yet.
Yep.
And I'm so sorry about this.
Oh my god, anyway.
It has been proven, even with their shitty forensics in the 20s, it's been proven that 7-year-old Kazalia had clumps of her own hair in her hands when she was eventually found, while Andreas, his wife Kazalia, and Victoria died instantly from their wounds. Baby Kazalia was thought to have lived for several hours.
Stop!
In the freezing barn, surrounded by her mom and her grandparents before she finally died by her injuries. I'm sorry. I know.
I just think of it like Nolan's 7 years old. I know. And I just, oh my God.
I know. Thinking about like all three of them. Like,
yeah.
Because they like, she has clumps of her own hair in her hands. Like, she's like in so much pain. She's like
pulling her own hair out.
Mm-hmm. While she's in a freezing barn and surrounded by, like, it's March in Germany, like Bavaria. It's still cold.
Yeah, and if you think about it, you don't know what actually was occurring at that time either. Like, her family's dead and she was still alive.
And she's just,
I mean, the person who killed them or tried to kill her could have still been there.
And she's, it, that's, yeah, that's the worst part to me, is that poor baby.
Oh, she's like, she died remembering all of that.
Ick. Or just wanting her mom to help her.
Yeah.
Like, mom, you're right there.
Yeah.
Please help me. I'm in pain. I'm scared. I'm cold.
You always help me, and now you can't.
Uh-huh. And ugh. Honestly, that is, like, just the saddest thing I can ever.
I'm not okay with that.
So, then, on April 1st, some of the younger Kazalia, the baby. She's not a baby. But she's seven. She's a baby. Some of her friends, noticed that she hadn't shown up at school.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, excuse me. Anyway, no, I lied. They looked it up and said that they noticed that she hadn't shown up at what they said was school.
Mm-hmm.
But I did look it up, in April 1st, 1922 is a Saturday, so I don't know if it was like supposed to be like a camp or a Sunday school type of thing. I'm sure they had some maybe religious, well, something that they were doing.
Yeah.
On a Saturday. But it's all of the sources that I could find said school. And so I don't know.
Maybe it was like a, I don't, like religion-ish.
That's kind of why I was thinking, like, maybe a Sunday school, yeah, type something. Yeah. But I don't know.
Well,
yeah. Because all of them, like I said, they all said school. So I couldn't figure out. What kind of school, yeah, they were talking about, as it was on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So anyways, Sunday the 2nd, it was noted that the family wasn't at church, and Victoria was in the choir and never missed a week. So this was extremely unusual.
I'm so scared if I ever go missing because I'm so flaky with stuff.
Honestly, though, I stay at home all the time.
I'm like one of those people who will show up if I'm really feeling it, but if I'm not,
90% of the time, yeah, I will be at home in sweatpants. Thank you.
Yeah, if the only thing that I could think of is work, and then, I mean, my boss is good enough to actually do a welfare check, and she'd come to my apartment. So, and Michael, he works with me, so.
I have your location, so I could figure it out.
That also is true. Yeah, that's why I thought you were at the fire department the other day. I Googled the address, and it was the fire department.
You're a nutcase. You are a nutcase.
I needed to make sure you're okay. You weren't texting me back.
Everything's fine.
Okay.
So anyway, so it was really weird that, like, the family was not there, and, like, Victoria was not singing in the choir like, yeah, she normally would.
Yeah.
But all of the family neighbors said everything seemed okay at the farm. Like I said, the dogs were being let in and out. All the animals seemed okay.
I don't get
there that. Was smoke coming out of the fireplace. Like, everything at the farm seemed okay. So they were all like, this is really weird. But I guess it looks okay, right? So they're like, everybody's really, really confused at this point, right?
Yeah.
So Monday, April 3rd, the little Kazalia missed actual school. And so people were now starting to, like,
questioning.
Yeah, really get concerned and questioning things. All right. So now we are back to April 4th, when the repairman went to fix that engine and thought everything looked okay. So he fixed it and left.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to look around.
No, I know. We're back to that date.
Yeah. Okay.
So he went to the neighbor's house, talked to Schlittenbauer about how weird he thought it was that he couldn't get a hold of anyone in the house, and he noticed that guy in the field and thought it was Andreas, which is why he just kind of waved at him and went, all right, cool, good along with my, but he couldn't really tell. So then, Schlittenbauer sent his 16-year-old son, Johann, and his 9-year-old son, stepson, Josef.
How many Josefs is there in this situation?
Two so far, and yeah, I also thought it was weird that his stepson and then his potential son with Victoria had the same name. Anyways, Johann and Josef couldn't get a response from the family either, so they went back home, and Lorenz Schlittenbauer grabbed a couple other neighbors, Michael Powell and Josef Sigelt.
Stop!
I'm sorry! And then the three of them went to investigate to go see what was going on. Okay, so then...
Oh.
So they get to the farmstead, and they check the barn, and then they find the bodies of Andreas Kazalia, Victoria, and baby Kazalia, covered in straw, with all of their heads, like, caved in.
Oh!
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. But now they only have those four, and they're like, where's the baby? And, you know, I don't know if they knew Maria was there or not.
Probably not. I mean, that's
if it was only her first day, I guess. Yeah, but
nobody really talked.
So I don't know if they were actually, like, I know they went searching for the baby, but I don't know if they specifically went searching for Maria or they just came across her while they were searching anyways. But either way, so they tried to enter the house and Lorenz spotted the lost keys. Remember those ones that Andreas said he lost?
Oh, so we're okay.
So Lorenz found the lost keys in the lock and the door was open.
Lost my ass.
Yeah, well. So they go into the house and they notice a lot of the food was gone. And
what?
The house was being taken care of. And in that way, they find the bodies of Josef and Maria in their beds. And Maria's bags hadn't even been unpacked. She hadn't even unpacked her bags on her very first day.
Oh.
Honestly, that's like so heartbreaking to me.
It's just...
I don't know what's worse. Her not even unpacking and it being her very first day at a job. Like, you don't get paid enough for that, babes. The baby being covered in his mom's dress.
That one.
Or baby Kazalia being alive for several hours and being found with chunks of her own hair in her hand. Like, I don't know what's
worse. They only know that she was alive so, like, long-ish because of the hair, ultimately, though. But
hair and, like, blood spatter.
I suppose.
Because if your heart stops beating, your blood will stop pumping.
Yeah.
So you won't necessarily lose as much blood if your heart stops beating.
Yeah. I mean, even if it slows down, though, it could still...
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. I was just thinking, like, the baby. If they don't, you can't tell how long.
I don't know. It all sucks.
I don't like this.
So now they call the police. Okay. So they've got the police involved now, and the police start the investigation. But the problem is, so many people had interacted with the scene that the police couldn't get, like, a solid hold on it. Lorenz had moved the bodies in the barn. People had tried to clean up and make food in the kitchen.
Stop.
Uh-huh. Initially, they thought that the motive was a robbery and it was some sort of, like, vagrants or people traveling through. But they noticed that there was actually nothing missing from the house.
Oh.
So that was ruled out pretty quickly after talking to a few people that had potentially, popped up on their radar as suspects.
That's just so...
Once that was ruled out, they noticed somebody had been living in the attic because they found food and, other things up there. And that's when they realized that's why it took so long for someone to notice that something was wrong. Because this person had made themselves at home, ate food, took care of the cows and the dog, and even began sleeping in one of the beds.
So it was just some random-ass human that, was living in the house.
Oh, just wait. I have theories.
Holy.
I mean, it could be, I guess. Yeah, it's unsolved, so it could be.
What?
It's unsolved. I have some theories, though, for you.
Well, I know it's unsolved, but if somebody was living in the damn attic... Yeah. And eating their food.
Who knows if it's a random person or maybe somebody they know.
Hold tight. That's fair. Very fair.
Who knows? Okay, so the bodies then were sent for autopsies, and for the most part it was determined that it was a, what they call a mattock, which is basically a pickaxe.
Okay.
Most of them were a blow to the head with this pickaxe.
Yes.
The older Kazalia and Victoria had also both been strangled.
Okay.
And then they're... During the autopsy, this is autopsy, right? There has to be some professionalism within an autopsy, correct?
You would think so, but if you think about the year, probably not.
So all of their heads were removed and sent to Munich for further investigation at a bigger crime lab. Just their heads.
Why their heads?
Because that's where they were hit, I suppose. Okay. Just to a bigger crime lab. I don't know why you wouldn't just send...
How much bigger can you get?
It's a crime lab. I mean, you know, in a teeny time, it would be like a, I don't know, Ypsilanti having a crime lab versus Fargo. I don't know. They got better.
My head is so stuck on the dang year, I can't get past it.
So in one of the articles, you're going to love this part, though.
No.
One of the articles that I read said that they had also sent the heads to clairvoyants or psychics to see if the psychics could, quote, learn anything else about what happened.
Why a psychic?
I don't know. It's like one of those things where they touch it and they're like, oh my God, they're...
Isn't...
I can see their last minutes. I don't know.
I can pretend that.
Well, it didn't work.
Clearly.
See, but the problem is then World War II started.
Oh, shit.
And they lost every single one of the heads.
How did you lose dead people's heads?
They lost all six of these heads.
How?
World War II. I don't... Do you want me to explain World War II Germany to you? Because I don't think that's a great place to go.
I really don't want to learn about that. I think I learned about it once, and I don't want to do it again.
Oh, maybe it was gross enough that time, yeah?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so none of them have ever been recovered.
See, okay.
And all six of these poor people had to be buried without their heads.
Sorry.
I know! It's the most ridiculous goddamn thing I've ever heard.
First all that shit happens to them, and then they have to be buried without their noodles.
Yep. Yep, because World War II Germany, they lost all six of these poor people's heads, and then they have never been recovered. And they had to be buried without them. You buried a 2-year-old without a fucking head.
Okay, so why wouldn't they have just, like, cremated them?
I don't know how that worked.
Oh.
I don't know.
I feel like a cremation would have been a lot better without their noodles.
It wouldn't have been a terrible option, I think, at that point.
I mean, what do? Cover up the first half of their body? Anyway, carry on.
I don't know.
I'm just stuck on that now.
So, suspects. I have some theories for you.
Oh, okay.
So they interviewed over 100 people, which seems about right, right? You got six dead bodies. You got to interview everybody you can possibly find.
Yeah.
If you have three people that found them, at the very least, you have the three people that found them. You have the two boys, the children, the son and the stepson, and then you have the repairman, right? So that's just six right there.
Yeah.
And it's a very small town, and all of these people were like, already kind of questioning what the hell was going on here, right?
Six dead bodies? I'd be doing more than questioning.
Well, no, I know. I'm saying they interviewed over 100 people.
Okay,
so the first suspect, ready. Mm-hmm. You're going to love this one.
Okay.
You're going to love it. I promise. I think that this is... actually, I want to tell you this before I tell you my opinion on this one. Carl Gabriel, which was, if you remember, Victoria's first husband that they speculated died in the war, and
he was in the attic.
He might be. So they speculated that he didn't actually die in the war, but he faked it, came back, got pissed because of the fact that she had a baby that wasn't his, killed the entire family. Okay.
Okay,
I'm gonna call shit on this one.
I
absolutely
know.
Not.
There's no, I mean, maybe living in the attic, possibly, because then you don't want to go back to war if you think you made everyone think you're dead. But if she thinks you're dead, obviously.
I mean, his body was never recovered.
Yeah.
Why would he wait 8 years before coming back to kill everybody?
Oh yeah, that's true.
Because
how would he live in an attic for 8 years?
Yeah, because she was pregnant with Kazalia when he died. So after he died is when baby Kazalia was born. So he had to have been up in that attic for like 8 years.
Living off their food.
So this is why I think this one's ridiculous.
No, I mean, okay, but somebody was living up there apparently.
Could he have faked his death and just bolted? Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Fuck yeah, that's what I would do if I was in the war.
They never found his body, you know, whatever. But like, why would you sit up there for 8 years? And just, what, get angry about this? And just sit there until...
But he could have been she nuts.
Has a second child? For 8 years now.
I don't, he could have lost his... I don't know. It could be like, what is that movie when he has the volleyball named Wilson? And he's stuck on the island.
With Tom Hanks.
Yeah, what is it
called? Castaway.
Yes. Could be like that kind of situation because he was stuck on there so long and only talked to himself in this volleyball.
One would think, though, that he would come out of the attic before probably. 8 years went by.
Probably.
It is also supposedly reported that several of the other soldiers in his group saw his body and they were just unable to, like, recover him.
Oh.
From wherever it was.
All right. So that's not...
I'm thinking, no, but I kind of love... No, I don't think this is a good theory at all.
No.
But I do kind of love just the imagination of it because... It's just outrageous.
Hiding in the attic for
8 years. And getting pissed because she has another baby with another man. 6 years later. Like, Yosef was two. That wasn't going to be your baby anyways, homie. Jesus fucking
That's
Christ.
That's why I'm fully convinced he just went, like, full-blown castaway psycho.
Honestly? Yeah, but he wouldn't sit there for 8 fucking years.
He could have went out the window at night or something.
Either way. I don't think that's a good theory.
Okay, well, I'm just saying.
I don't think it's a good theory. Second of all, then they looked at Lorenz Schlittenbauer. They have
to.
He's the one that found the bodies. So they theorized that he was so traumatized by his baby's death, the new one that his wife, or the one that his wife had given birth to, or his new wife after he had left, or whatever.
Yep.
That after he cut the engagement off with Victoria, and the family started
else.
Threatening.
Yeah.
Well, they... Remember, they started threatening for child support and everything. And Andreas threatened him with the Sith. And that all ended up leading to him murdering the family as kind of like a revenge plot. Which I can get behind more than Carl living in the attic for
But I
years.
Like that one better.
I like that one better, too. Yeah, I do.
Okay, but
it does make a lot more sense. If they were threatening him for child support, his baby did just die. Like, they were threatening him with a Sith. I can see where this one maybe makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, maybe, but at the same time.
So, then they also said that when he discovered the bodies, he immediately handled them and was, like, touching all of them. And that he didn't seem, like, horrified by them. Which, I mean, I don't know if I found 4 bodies stacked in a barn with a 7-year-old ripping out clumps of her own hair, I'd be horrified.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be touching the bodies, I don't think.
No. So, he also seemed to know where everything was in the house, which makes me think that he maybe did know Maria was also there, right? If he knows where everything is in the house, he's familiar with the family, he probably did know Maria was there.
Maybe.
And so when they went into the house to search for the baby, then it makes sense that he would have also been like, there's one more person here. Like, I know there's another person here.
Yeah, but at the same time, if he was, like, actively in a relationship with Victoria, he could have been in that house many times.
Well, right. That's why I'm saying it makes sense then. If that's the case, then it makes sense that he would know that Maria
he
was there.
He would have the inside deets of everything.
Yeah, he'd know that she was there.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently a lot of them also said that he was, like, a little too nonchalant
seems like a weird ass anyway, so.
And it's like,
is he normal? No.
Well, I like to think that you never know how anybody is going to process that kind of trauma. However, it does seem interesting. So,
you know, I found a dead raccoon once, and I screamed and went to my mom. So,
you did not.
I did. I was little!
Did you poke it?
No.
I feel like...
No, because my parents poisoned them, and it, like, was... It was mean. It was going after my cat. My parents poisoned them, so they'd stop attacking our damn cat and eating our cat food. Ooh, it's expensive, man.
It feels like I would have poked it.
Well, okay, so here's the thing.
At the very least with my toe.
No. It was, like, half into, like, the cat food bin. So I opened up our shed doors and all.
To, like, feed the cats, and then all of a sudden there was, like...
No, the raccoon was dead halfway. Like, it got poisoned.
No, I'm saying you opened the shed.
Yeah, and...
To feed the cats, yes. And then there was just a half of a raccoon hanging out of this thing.
Its ass was hanging out of the food bin, and I was like... Not today! And then I went inside.
Oh my god!
And I was like, Mom, there's a dead raccoon in the shed, and I don't think you can use cat food anymore.
Oh my god, that's so sad.
I'm still traumatized from that. Okay, so if I found, like, 4 dead bodies? No!
No.
I would call my mom. No, I wouldn't.
You'd call me.
Yeah, I would.
Emily, we have a problem.
Oh god.
Oh my god.
Oh shit. Oh my god. That was fun. That was a good story. Oh, I just backtracked my life.
I mean, the only animals that I ever was, like, traumatized by was the turkeys. So.
What about the rabbit?
The one that was in my backyard that one day that I had.
Your pet rabbit.
Oh, no, I'm not traumatized by that. I'm pretty sure that I really did a number on the boys, making sure that they were also not traumatized by that. I don't care about that one so much anymore.
Oh, man, I remember you felt so bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring our stupid kid. Oh,
he was so sad.
Never didn't care.
Well, he was, what, 3, 4?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, anyways. Anyways.
Yeah, back to the story. My bad.
So they said another point was that Schlittenbauer was also a farmer, so he knew how to take care of all the animals and do all the farm chores. And so it kind of makes sense, like, because they're all getting done, and they're getting done correctly.
Okay.
That they were like, okay, well, maybe whatever. And if he had been in a relationship with Victoria and was engaged to her, he would also know the family very well. Like I said, with him knowing... that Maria was there,
yeah,
or where she would have been, and then also where everything was, so all the food for all the animals and the hay and the, you know, all of the other tools that he would need to actively care for the farm, he would know where all that was.
Get that, but at the same time, it's like, I know where all your stuff is.
Do you plan to kill me? And
no, I was going to say that next. But
bury me under a bunch
of hay. But my point is, I've been here so many times that I know where all of your stuff is.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, that's what they're saying is because if he was in a relationship with her, he would know where all of that stuff was and he would know how to do that. I mean, you take care of my pets when I'm out of town.
Yeah.
So it would make sense that if he had brutally murdered this whole family of 6.
He would be able to take care of everything.
Yep.
Okay, but any farmer probably could if they...
Yeah, but he knows where everything is.
Yeah.
Like, you know where my cat food is and stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, my egg cartons and whatever. Like, you know where all that stuff is. And so it makes sense for him to...
See, I was kind of on... Yeah, he's a sketchy one.
Uh-huh. So, also then, the police couldn't place him really anywhere... over the course of the 4 days between the deaths and the discovery of the bodies. But he did also have a family of his own at that point. So I don't know how he could have hung out at home with his family and at the farm.
Without being noticed, right. Missing.
Yeah. He does remain one of their top suspects, though.
Well, that seems legitimate, though.
But doesn't his, because he was married at that point then? Mm-hmm. I guess if you're a wife, you're not going to be like, yeah, he was gone for like 4 hours the other day. And I,
you know, as much as I love Patrick, if all of a sudden the police came here and they were like, hey, we have a question about the whereabouts of your husband. I'd lie for him for a lot of things, but a brutal murder of a family of six, including a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old, I'm throwing him under the bus. If he's not home, nope.
Yeah, but back then, the wives were like...
I don't care.
I mean, I'm just saying
I don't care. I would throw him under the bus so fucking fast. If he was not home during that time period, I would be like, no, he wasn't here. I don't know where he was. He didn't tell me. If it came down to a brutal murder of a family, I keep saying of six, but a brutal like a family of five and they're made, like, yeah. No. If you're not home during that, I need timestamps. Okay? We have security cameras. I will pull up every...
Don't you have his location?
Yeah, I do, but I will pull up... Yeah, but you can't, like, find that later. I can look at my...
That's
security
true.
Camera to find dates and times, exact times down to the
but
second.
But you could also look at how many times you texted and called him when he was gone.
My husband, I don't know. He just came home about 45 minutes after you guys said that time, and he was just covered in blood. It was so weird. And then he acted really, really weird the next day, too. Shocked 4 days later when they came to ask.
He said he hit a deer on the way home, yeah, and but then I don't believe him.
And then he did not seem terribly concerned after that at all.
No.
I'd throw him under the bus.
Yeah, you would.
If it came down to that, yeah, because that family deserves some peace.
Yeah, that, and I think that you know that if you covered for him, you're also screwed.
I couldn't cover for anybody like that.
No.
I would throw up. I have too much anxiety for that.
True. Same.
I'd like be like, no, he was home with me.
Throws up. Just kidding.
Never mind. I'm wrong. No. Yeah.
Erase that statement.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. He wasn't here. I have no idea where he was. Is it getting hot in here? I need a fan.
I can't open the window.
Can I have a bottle of water? Actually, my anxiety meds are in the kitchen. Can I please have one of those real quick?
I also think I need my inhaler.
I'd pass. I wouldn't be able to. If I knew that it was a if it was a poor family that had been brutally axe murdered, including two very young children.
Yeah.
There's no way. Even if I wanted to, I could. The police would take one. Are you sure that's the store? Are you sure that's what happened? No, I'm so sorry. No, I didn't. No. I would not be able to do it. Are you kidding me? Are you saying that you could do it?
Why did this turn on me?
Because you're laughing at me.
It's funny.
Okay, whatever.
I'm not married, so.
So you're telling me that if Michael was gone for a little bit of time and then the police came knocking on your door being like, hey, where the hell was he?
I wouldn't even know. Because sometimes he doesn't tell me where he is. Honestly, he's probably at McDonald's.
Don't you have his location?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like you said, you can't record it.
I know for a fact you have cameras in your living room.
Yeah, I do.
So, okay, we're in the same boat. We're in the same boat.
Yes, but he if he goes missing, generally he's getting food he's not supposed to be eating, and he doesn't want anybody to know about it.
That's such a vibe. Can he pick me up and we can go together next time?
Oh, God, he does it all the time.
I want to go with him next time. No, I need to go with him next time.
Okay, well, he already went to McDonald's today, so... Right.
Does he want to go with me on Tuesday?
Tomorrow.
Oh my God, it is tomorrow. Yes. Yeah, because
he would go every day, but he regrets the decision every day.
I will take him on a McDonald's date between the hours of 5 and 7 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll let him know. Actually, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta go too.
Yeah, shoot. We ate McDonald's tonight. No one's not gonna be upset.
I know. Maverick's been counting down the days. He's like, is it the 15th today? And I was like, yeah, it is. He goes, cool, only 5 more days. Is it the 16th today? Yeah, it is. Okay, cool, only 4 more days. I'm like, okay, buddy.
I don't think Nolan even knows about that.
Oh my God, Maverick.
I have it on our calendar.
Maverick has been counting down. Okay, so anyways, It has also then been speculated that Andreas himself may have been the killer. So, in theory, in this theory, he didn't want it to be found out that he may have actually been, like, young Josef's dad.
Okay, everyone already assumed that.
Yeah, even after the years of documented incest. So they thought that he may have killed the family and then himself, but that was really ruled out just based on the scene itself. How would you even do that?
How do you ask yourself?
Like, well, one, I'm fairly certain he was, like, on the bottom of this fucking pile. So how do you do that? How do you kill five people and then put yourself on the bottom of pile under your wife, daughter, and granddaughter?
I suppose you could crawl.
And no. Then what, whack yourself? I feel like the axe would still be in his hand.
Absolutely.
So it was a theory, but ruled out
a really,
really
theory.
Quickly. So there were a bunch of other suspects, including someone named Paul Mueller, who's a suspected serial killer. I actually have him on my list of people to look into for a story in the future.
So they just pulled this guy because he was already killing people?
Well, so he was a suspect in several other, like, axe murders in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So he, in Germany. So he was...
Okay.
He kind of had the same MO, you know, early 1900s, axe murder, Germany, all that.
Yeah.
So they were like, well, maybe could it have been related to this guy who was already basically doing the same thing? So then there was also a set of brothers that the former made, the one that quit. Because she said it was haunted.
It was haunted.
Yeah. So the former maid said that they had, this set of brothers had helped out with harvest with the family.
Oh.
And so they would also know the layout of the property, where everything is. Uh-huh. And then they had also apparently threatened the family.
What?
I think non-payment from Andreas.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, that'll do it.
And then there was...
Yeah, that's actually a good theory, though.
That's a good theory, too. I like that theory.
I mean, I'm not... I would never get to the point of killing somebody for not paying me, but...
I like that theory, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there was a man who had been identified early on, but his sister then also mentioned on her deathbed almost 30 years later that he had done it.
What?
Yeah, that he had admitted to doing it.
Stop!
Yeah. 30 years later. That feels sketch to me.
Yeah, that's, like, fucked up.
If my brother told me something, that he was an axe murderer.
Okay. Yeah,
First of all, I'd also turn him in immediately.
Okay, but...
Sorry, but I love you, but God, no.
You can't murder people in jammy pants. It's just not right.
Well, that's true.
You can't get married in jammy pants either.
But then also, it's like, if you are... He may try. We'll see.
No, because he didn't wear jammy pants to Claire's wedding.
Grace's
wedding.
I get to pick his outfit out.
I suppose. And well, he probably could.
I get to pick his outfit out. And Alex's dress is just gorgeous. He would look so silly. So anyway, that's nothing ever came of any of those last three. The serial killer, the brothers, or that sister on her deathbed. Nothing came from those.
They probably just gave the fuck up.
Well, in 1999, there was a woman who claimed that her former landlord admitted to having more information on the killing, and it was investigated, but it was found that this claim was made in 1935, and the suspect was already dead in 1999, so they didn't name the person because they didn't want to be like, well, he did it.
Well, make look stupid.
Well, it's like, you can't, if this claim was made in 1935 and you're not coming forward until 60 years later, like, come on now. And then in 2007 there was a group of students investigating this case, and they believed that they believe, as far as I can tell to this day, that they have confirmed who committed the murders, but this guy is also dead and had living relatives, and since the suspect is dead, they don't want to name him out of respect for the remaining living family,
I suppose. Yeah.
Especially because, like, there's no way that you can... You
can't do anything now.
No, you can't prove it either. Like, really. No.
And even, like, the family, everyone that was killed, essentially. It's well, not gonna really affect anything at this well, point. And
it's maybe. Really... It would be really difficult to confirm.
Yeah.
They're very confident in this name. But, obviously, 1922 Forensics, they didn't collect everything that they could
have. And they lost their heads!
And they lost their heads, yeah. So, they have this theory that every single one of these students agrees on, but obviously not the definitive proof that they would actually need to close it. Ultimately, though, still an unsolved case. They do keep trying to reopen it over and over and just use new technology to...
I'm surprised they haven't, like,
But nothing is coming from it, and at this point in time, it will likely remain unsolved. However, in 1923, less than a year after the murders, they demolished the house and the farmstead, and when they did that, they found the mattock, the pickaxe, covered in dried blood that they couldn't find in their initial investigation. And now there's just a little monument there to kind of commemorate the family. And
didn't they try to take anything off of that little
like, not that print? Not that I know of. I don't think that they would. I mean, in 1923, they wouldn't know.
But when they took down the house and found that.
Yeah, but they wouldn't know. Like, they wouldn't know to take fingerprints or, like, take samples of the DNA. I mean, maybe they have the... Maybe they still have it in, like, evidence or whatever, but, like, they wouldn't know to, like, compare it to or whatever for... I mean, if it's covered in dried blood, likely that's what it is.
Yeah, but I was more thinking...
But, like, fingerprints and stuff, they wouldn't know to have fingerprinted, say, the suspects and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough.
So that's what I got.
Dang, that was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they're ever going to have anything, like, solid.
I don't know. It really does sound like these university students have a lot of confidence in themselves. So maybe, but I don't think that...
They want to release it. Oh.
Well, and I think that it's fair for them to not release the name because they do have living relatives. So...
They don't need to...
Nobody needs to attack these, like, living relatives based on a vicious murder that happened 100 years ago. Yeah, and it's like, okay, obviously, like, if they're correct, yeah, your family member was a monster.
Yep.
However, that doesn't mean that
everyone has to laugh at them.
Well, and that they need to suffer or anything, so it's like, why bring them into it at this point in time? Yeah. Especially if, like, there's real, I don't know how you can confirm it. Really.
You can't. I mean,
I'd be really interested to see what kind of evidence they have, but
The evidence has to be pretty slim.
They seem pretty confident, and they've held on to this since 2007, so.
Oh, yeah.
They seem pretty confident in themselves, but yeah. That was a crazy one.
Yeah.
And it's only number one.
Yeah.
You should see my list of.
I don't want to see it. I want to just listen to them all.
It's so good. There's, I mean, what did I say? I had 7 of them already in the works.
Oh, God.
I know. It's so good. So, anyway, that's what I got for you tonight.
All right. Well, that was Mom Needs a Minute. And now we have to go attend to our children and our guys.
It's bedtime.
Because mine's texting me and asked me when I'm coming home.
Mine is... also texting me from the kitchen telling me dinner's ready, so.
Okay. All right. And broth.